through the Lord bless dear Brother Bobby with a fervent prayer, and I thank God for that because we know that comes from the Lord. We give him the praise for it. Need you to pray for me as I stand before you this morning. I say that each time, but I mean it each time too. So much we miss when we don't take it all to the Lord in prayer. So please pray that he would bless you and me together this morning to worship him and to talk about him and to praise him and to glorify and honor his name. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, a passage which I'm sure is familiar to all of you this morning. I'd like to begin reading at the 46th verse, and we'll read down through the 49th verse. This is part of the Sermon of the Mount, of the Sermon on the Plain, and we'll read also from Matthew, where this is given from Matthew's account. And the Lord would bless us just like to look at this passage this morning and see the wonderful message that the Lord gives us in his word. Beginning at verse 46 of Luke 6, we read, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, on the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord called his disciples and delivered these words to them at the very end of that sermon, Jesus giving all of those teachings that are found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I'm so thankful our Lord did have the authority. All power was given unto him in heaven and in earth, and Jesus is the one who gave us our doctrine. It was delivered by Jesus unto the apostles, and apostles unto faithful men who were able to teach others also. And since the Lord has given his word, the church has been deposited and given the truth. The truth has been deposited there, and today we're to share that same truth. I'm not to add to that truth. I'm not to take from that truth. I'm to declare unto you that same truth that was taught by Jesus, and he had the authority to give it. We don't have the authority to change it. We have the obligation, the responsibility to teach that which is given to us in God's word. That's why we're to preach the word. I'm not to add to it. I'm not to take from it. He said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And I think how wonderful a blessing it is today that we can come as we have this morning and just acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Isn't that wonderful to know that Jesus is Lord? I hope you understand today Jesus is Lord. I hope you are acknowledging that with your lips. I hope that's what the communication is in your heart. And what a blessing it is that we're enabled to do that. It isn't by chance that we were able to do that. It's not because mom and daddy taught you right that you're able to do that. It's not because I was able to reach you that you were able to do that. It's not because anybody else, though many would have wanted you to understand this and know this. Mama's told us this. Daddy's told us this. Those faithful brethren in the church told us this. But I want you to know altogether today that had not God visited you in His grace and in His mercy, you would have never been able to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. You wouldn't know that in any capacity at all. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't love the Lord. We would despise Him. We wouldn't reach out to Him. We'd be running away in every way that we could. If you know today that Jesus is the Lord, the Apostle Paul told us over in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, the writings of the Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians 12, tells us that how we are able to know that Jesus is Lord. It's a very important verse. There are many people who feel like you can teach people to know Jesus is Lord. They feel like that's their job. That's their responsibility. They feel that if they don't do that, there are going to be some that miss out on heaven that could have been there, and some that will end up in hell that shouldn't have had to go there through the efforts of their instruction. And they get all mixed up about that and spend a great deal of time and energy and effort and concern, and a burden becomes on them trying to get those to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord so that the Lord can then do something for them, not realizing that very doctrine doesn't acknowledge Jesus to be Lord. See, it's wonderful to know that Jesus is Lord, which means He's really Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let me get this verse before, because I'm about to get somewhere else, but let's get this verse. It says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is talking about the spiritual gifts that are given by Almighty God to the church. He says in verse 3, He says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that a person who stands before you and says Jesus is something other than Lord is in a sense calling Jesus accursed, in a sense despising Jesus and who He is. There are some who said Jesus was one of many good men, but He was much more than that. You see, Jesus was Lord. And if it hadn't been for the Lord, there'd been no good men. He's not just one of the good men. There are some who would say He was a good man, but they will not recognize Him to be God. And I say to you, if Jesus was not God, He was a liar, because He said He was, and therefore He could not be a good man. In order for Jesus to be a good man, He had to be God, and He had to be Lord. And if He was anything less than that, then He died on the cross as a blasphemer. And that was right and just for Him to die in that way if He was not all that He said He was. But the fact of the matter, He should not have died on the cross because He was Lord. Jesus, He died on the cross because God purposed it. It was an unjust act on man's part that nailed Him to the tree of the cross. But He fulfilled the very just will of God when He died on the cross, because that's what God sent Him to do. And the way God did that, He used man and his evil contention and ideas and thoughts to nail Jesus to the cross to fulfill the very will of God. They could not have done it if Jesus had not submitted to it, if He had not given His life. You see, it's a statement to be made that they took His life, but they didn't really take His life. You know, the Bible says, "Ye with wicked hands have taken Him and slain Him." And they did. But they could not have done that had not Jesus submitted to that willingly. He gave His life, and no man could have taken Him had He not given His life. And Jesus willingly gave His life and died on the cross. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord in creation. Listen, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by Him. Jesus is the Lord of creation. All creation ought to testify that Jesus is Lord. But man would not, though he should, even as a creature, testify that Jesus is Lord, but he will not. He will deny his very existence. He'll deny the very existence of God. But God, when he works in the heart, allows man the ability by the Holy Spirit to declare that Jesus is Lord. If you declare today that Jesus is Lord, it's by the Holy Spirit that you do that. Listen, don't give 2 minutes to a preacher that doesn't declare Jesus is Lord. And that ought to be the theme of his preaching. It ought to be what his preaching is about. And when you talk about Jesus being Lord, he's the Lord of creation. Absolutely. He's the Lord of the angels. You know, people really have a lot of idea and thought about angels these days, and they want to acknowledge the angels and all the power that the angels have. But I want you to know, without Jesus, the angels would have no power. They'd have no ability. They wouldn't even know what to do. They sit in heaven beholding the face of the Father to send them and direct them, and the Lord's angels encamp around them that fear him, and they follow the very instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of the angels. He's the Lord of heaven, and he's the Lord of earth. He is the sovereign Lord. He isn't a Lord who, when you hear men talk about him, that would want to do something and can't get it done. He wants to save you, but unless you submit to him, he cannot save you. He wants to fill heaven and empty hell, but he can't get that done because men won't submit to him. That doesn't sound like that Jesus is Lord. It sounds like man is Lord over that Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus we believe in and that the Bible teaches is Lord. Listen, when he speaks, things happen. When he speaks, in the beginning, when he spoke this world into existence, he spoke and it was done. By his power, and all power is given unto him in heaven and the earth. See, Jesus is Lord. We believe that this morning. I'm going to preach that if I know what anything. I want to preach Jesus is Lord. One of my major concerns when I stand before God's people is that I preach Jesus as Lord. That I don't leave you with the idea he needs your help. That he doesn't have enough money to get what he wants to get done, or he doesn't have enough ability. And do we not hear that over and over again? I even believe from many of God's little children who are misinformed and misinstructed about what Jesus has done for them, and they're thinking, if I don't help him out, he can't get it done. That Jesus is dependent on me, though I'm depending on him some, he's depending on me a lot. And I want you to know, if Jesus was depending on us, he would not be Lord. He has held us responsible, and he has things for us to do. But I'm telling you, his work and his will is not done because we do our work and our will. That salvation is not of works. It's of his sovereign and wonderful grace. Y'all believe that, don't you, this morning? Well, that's important. And if you do believe that, we can't pat ourselves on the back for it. You can't pat your preacher on the back for it. You can't even brag on mom and daddy as much as they want to tell you. I tell you that it took the Lord to awaken you to that. If you were not awakened to that, the only message you'd want to hear today is about things that would puff you up and would scratch your little ears and make you feel better in your old nature. And what we do from the Scripture is tell you that Jesus is Lord and man is absolutely nothing without him. And we can do nothing without him. And yet with him, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And that's whether you're young, whether you're old, whoever you are. And if you understand that, that means you're a little child of God. That means you belong to him. That means you're going to be with him in glory someday. That means that heaven that we sing about is a real place that awaits you. That means every day of your life, his eyes are upon you, his hands upon you, and he is with you. And when you're in the storm, and when you're in the trouble, not if, when you're in the storm and when you're in the trouble, you have a friend who loved you so much. As Lord, he came here in this world and was made a little lower than the angels, took upon himself a body of the flesh for the sufferings of death, and he died in our room instead and paid the sin debt, and he became Lord over death, hell, and the grave. And that means he is our victory. Isn't it wonderful to have such a Lord? And the Bible says, here. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. When you hear one preaching another kind of Jesus, one that isn't that Jesus, they're not speaking by the Spirit of God. They're not following what the Lord has laid in their hearts. They either do not know the Lord or they are deceived and in bondage doctrinally. And what you want to listen to are to those that declare Jesus to be Lord. And if you preach the word, that's what you're going to declare. He's not a way, he's the way. He's not a truth, he's the truth. He is not one of the many ways that one might get to heaven. He is the only way. Without him, there is no one that will ever enter heaven other than being in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in his blood, unless they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, unless they belong to him, unless regeneration has taken place in their heart where they're born of the Spirit, and all of that is done by the power of God and not by the power of man. You know, Jesus is Lord. And I wanted to say that, and we sing it. So, hymn number one, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Why should the angels fall prostrate before Jesus? Because he's Lord of the angels. Isn't that wonderful? Bring forth the royal diadem, the crown that acknowledges him to be Lord. We want to do that every meeting. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. That means I want to preach that Jesus is Lord and crown him Lord of all, because he is indeed Lord of all. Isn't it wonderful that that is the one who is our Savior? That is the one who loved you. That is the one that you can never be separated from his love. That's your safety, your security, your answer for eternity. And your answer for right now as you live here in this world. He ought to be Lord in our life. He is Lord. We ought to acknowledge him as such. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And what's wonderful about that, if you can say Jesus is the Lord, that is because the Holy Ghost has come in your heart and enlightened you to that. That ought to make you... And listen, if he came in, he doesn't leave. It's eternal life that you have. It's not life that you can have and lose. What a sad thing it would be to say that my eternal life is dependent upon me. And though I've embraced it today, I could change and lose it tomorrow. There are many of God's little children believing it's their responsibility to hold on to that eternal life. Listen, we are to lay hold on eternal life, but that laying hold on to it doesn't mean you can lose it. It means you've got it, live it, walk it, believe it, embrace it, have it be active in your life. There are some days you and I who have it, we don't lay hold on it. I don't always walk in it and don't respond as if I am his child. And that's what preaching allows us to do, is to lay hold onto that eternal. It doesn't give you eternal life, but it allows you to have the light shine so that you truly lay hold onto that eternal life. And the lesson here in Luke tells us that. He said this. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So when the Lord has worked a work of grace in our hearts, and by the Holy Spirit we're able to call him Lord, it ought to affect how we act and how we behave and how we live, how we talk, how we communicate, how we conduct our lives here in this world. It's important for us to remember that Jesus is Lord. It's important for us to acknowledge that. It's important for us to embrace that as we live day in and day out. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Here, I believe he's saying, you call me Lord, but you sure don't act like I'm Lord. Do you suppose there are times that Jesus could look down at us and our lives and say, you call me Lord, but you sure don't act like I'm Lord? I know he can look at me so many times where I'm doubting and concerned and afraid and in fear, and I can hear the words, why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Because you're sure not operating like I'm Lord. Oh, brethren, I want us to be reminded today that Jesus is Lord, so that when we face life trouble, we have a rock on which we can stand. We have a sure foundation that stands up. Have we not seen in the last little time among our church, there is a rock on which you can stand and a foundation that will always hold up, that when you're in the midst of the storm and when you're in the midst of the battle along life's way, in Jesus we have one, not one we got for ourselves, but one who came to us. And in Him we can build our lives. He's a rock on which we are to build our very lives. He is that rock. And we want to build our house upon that rock. He said, wheresoever, He said, and do not the things which I say. I think of that Old Testament passage when the Lord was speaking unto His people there in the book of Malachi, in the very last chapter of the Old Testament. In the book of Malachi, He speaks to them and He says some things that could come right to us. He says in verse 6 of Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? It's talking about the sacrifice and the offering of thanksgiving that we're to give unto the Lord. And I know as I examine what I bring sometimes in a way of praise to the Lord, it's not as wholehearted as it ought to be. It's not as sincere as it ought to be. It's not sometimes the very first fruits. It's kind of the leftovers. The time that I spend in His Word is not the first amount of my time. Sometimes it's the leftover time. How about that with you? The time that I spend in prayer is not the meat of my time. Sometimes it's the time where I get to the place where that's all that's left to do. And what the Lord is saying here to His people, and it's not someone else He's talking to, it's us as His people, is that the very most important thing that we ought to have in our life is to be living in a way to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I'm not trying to put you back under the law today or make you feel bad. I think as we all examine our lives, we can find places in our lives where we have failed to do this. But I want to encourage us to remember the most important thing we can do is put first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness before anything else in our lives, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, who do we belong to? We belong unto the Lord. Who has bought and paid for us? He is the Lord. He is, whose servant are we? We should be His servant. And Brother John preached to us just a week or so ago about how you can't both serve God and mammon. We're going to either serve the one and hate the other, or we're going to hate the one and serve the other. And for us, as God's little children, we just acknowledge. And I believe all of you would say a hearty amen to those things that Jesus is Lord. You would acknowledge today that Jesus is Lord, wouldn't you? Well, if Jesus is Lord, does He deserve our leftovers? If we offered on our job the things sometimes that we offer in service to God, would the job accept it? Would they put up with it? If we presented ourselves there like we do sometimes before the Lord, would they be pleased with it? He says, offer it unto that governor and see what he will say about that. And we know that it would be rejected. And yet we think, well, God, you know, He's gracious. He'll just take anything. Listen, God is gracious, but He is deserving of my very best. He is deserving of the first fruits of my time. He is deserving of the first fruits of my life. I should give unto Him in adoration and praise. Listen, I can't ever give back to Him what He's given to me, but I owe Him the very first place in my life. Of all the people I should be concerned about being pleased with me, it ought to be first and foremost my Lord. Sometimes it becomes others, and we put the Lord in a secondary position. Is that the way it ought to be? He's saying here, absolutely not. And when the troubles of life hit you and the problems hit you, your house is going to fall if it's built on the shifting sand of some other rock, some other foundation. And whatever that might be, it's not going to hold up. I'll say this to you. The Lord will always hold you up. He's always going to be that rock that we stand in need of and that we are able to build our house upon, and it will stand. He said over here in Luke chapter 6. He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He's speaking to his disciples here. He said, "Whosoever cometh to me," oh, it's a blessing to be able to come to him. Some people say anybody can come to him. The Bible doesn't say that, though, does it? The Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day." In order to come to God, we have to be drawn to the Father. But coming to him, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me," we come by the drawing of the Lord. And all of his children will come to him in regeneration. Every one of them will be born of the Spirit of God. He says, "And whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Listen, is it something valuable for us to get here at the house of God? Is it something valuable for us to get when we're reading the Bible? Is it something valuable to learn about Jesus? He said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's talking about what we read about last week in Psalm 116 of taking that cup of salvation. We have before us in the Word of God a cup of salvation that we're to take and drink from and apply in our life. It's part of putting on the whole armor of God, that we walk in this world in a way that we can stand up in the battles and in the troubles that are sure to come. Listen, we've had a lot of them. We've had a lot of troubles. We mentioned so many this morning. We spent a long time talking about them. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got some armor to wear in this warfare? Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got the cup of salvation to drink from? Isn't it wonderful to know we have the teachings of Jesus and we understand that He is Lord? And if we take those teachings and apply them in our life by the grace of God and the mercy of God, no man can do this by himself. I'm not giving man the ability here. It's all by the power of God. But when we put on what He's given us to wear, God's little children will stand up in the midst of the storm. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, for He is with us. And His rod and His staff, they protect us. It's wonderful to know the great shepherd of the sheep will never leave one of His little children. He said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house." We're building our house as we live here in this world. We're building our lives. And that man dig deep. It wasn't easy. He dig deep. I believe that meant he spent some time in God's Word. I believe that meant he spent a lot of time in prayer. I believe it meant he spent a lot of time studying. He spent a lot of time hearing preaching and talking about what was preached. He spent a lot of time singing the hymns that honor and glorify God. He spent a lot of time on his knees in prayer. He dig deep. And how could he dig deep? Listen, you couldn't dig if God hadn't given you life. You wouldn't be able to dig if you wouldn't have the want to do it. It's by grace that you're able to do it. But by the grace of God, he's able to dig deep. And he laid the foundation on a rock. Oh, the wonderful truths of what the Lord has done for you. What a blessing that's been in our life when everything else gets shaken. Isn't it wonderful to know a heaven awaits when you're in the troubles and the storms here in this world? Isn't it wonderful to know that heaven isn't there by what you did, but based on what He's done for you? Isn't it wonderful to know that when you stand before God, there is an advocate, one who's going to stand with you there as the one who said, "Father, behold, I and the brethren that Thou hast given to me." And how many of them did He lose? Not one of them. That is how we'll ever be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. Isn't it wonderful to know when you're in trouble, you can pray and look to the Lord, and even if you don't know what to say, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. It's great. It's a great, great blessing. Listen, God's little children forsake that blessing when we do not look to Him, and especially in those times of difficulty and those times of trouble. God's little children can do that. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, we need to point out the word says when it arose. It didn't say if. Somebody says, maybe you'll miss that You'll miss the flood. No, you're going to, as sure as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. Sometimes God's little children feel like, well, what did I do wrong that I had this trouble? Well, the fact you're breathing air is going to bring sickness and heartache and trouble on you. Sometimes you think, well, what did they do? You remember the ones who said, what did this man do that he might be born blind? That's how silly men think about it. You know, what could a man do that would cause him to be born blind? It happened way before he was born. You know, what did this man do? Oh, let me tell you, we have done a lot in that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God and even are born in that sin. But the troubles that we have in life, the problems that we have, yes, they come as a result of sin in general. Sometimes it's sin in particular. But nonetheless, our deliverance comes from Almighty God. We trust and lean upon Him. And He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Can you see that water banging on that house, just beating on it? It's not just one little quick storm. That's life. It's explanation of life. Listen, little child of God, we need a rock. And we have that rock in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to acknowledge that and build our house upon Jesus Christ and His teachings. The stream beat vehemently upon that house and it could not shake it. You know why it couldn't shake it? Because it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon the Lord. But he that heareth and doeth not. Now listen, here's one that hears, but he doesn't do. Have you ever heard, not did, not done? I'm not getting good English there, but that's okay. Have you ever heard it and known what to do? Have there been times, you know, as we sing a hymn, did you think you pray? Did you think to pray ere you left your room this morning? Did you think to pray? Have you ever been so busy you just didn't have time to pray? We'll offer that on the job and see how that goes. What should we be doing every day? If we take time to do anything, we ought to take time to pray. If I take time to read anything during the day, it ought to be God's Word as a major part of that time. Can I say to you today that I've always done that? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, every time that I have, it's been a benefit and a blessing to me. And every time I fail to do it, I have missed some blessings and some benefits in that cup of salvation that I could have been drinking from that I didn't do. I won't miss my eternal home. But you know and I know it's been a great blessing for you to attend the house of God and to worship the Lord. It's been a great blessing to hear the sermons that you've been allowed by God's grace to hear. It's been a great blessing to sing the songs that sometimes roll back in you, in your mind and in your heart when you're in a dark and a difficult time. It's a great blessing to have scriptures come up in your memory that the Lord has allowed you to have. And all of those wonderful blessings help you in the storms and in the troubles. And if you didn't have those experiences, you wouldn't have those to feed on in the midst of those storms and troubles. You've laid up some treasures in heavenly places that the Lord allowed you to have to feed on. I've seen God's little children feed on them. I know they fed on them. Even at times when you wanted to reach them and couldn't, you could see them feeding on that. And those things were there. There was a rock for them that would have not been there had they not built their house upon a rock. This is not my idea and thought. That's what he's teaching right here. That's why it's so important for me as a minister to encourage you to build your house upon that rock. Listen, if you're not going to have time to do something, let it be the things of this world. Don't let it be the things God's called us to do in His church. And have any of us done that? I say to you, all of us have fallen short in this regard, and we need to do better. And we ought to be encouraging one another to do better, because listen, when the storms come, this won't leave you. It won't leave you. He won't leave you. And it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Some people think, well, my money is going to hold me up. And I'll tell you how much money means to you when you're sick. You can't buy enough money. You can't buy the doctor to make you well. It won't hold you up. Some people think my family is going to be there for me. And your family is a great blessing. But I'm telling you, if you're trusting in your family, you're trusting in the same weak creatures that you are. And in the midst of the storm, they're going to fall apart just like everyone else. I'm telling you, it takes someone greater than our family to help us. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll give you family to help you. He'll supply the money that you need, not that you want, but that you need. He'll supply you the help that's sufficient for you to be happy in the Lord. He is our strength and our everything. Listen, he's Lord. He's Lord. And he says, and he built, beat upon that house, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. I want you to see that God's little children that trust in the Lord and lean upon him and hear his words and do them, don't escape the troubles. They have the exact same troubles. But the people that don't trust in him, and God's little children that sometimes hear it and don't do it, they don't miss the troubles. The troubles are coming, whether it's not if, it's when. It's when. And when they come, isn't it wonderful? I often say, and I've heard others say, what would I do if I didn't have Jesus? What would I do right now if I didn't have the rock on which I could look to? Where would I be if I didn't have him to pray to? Where would I be if I didn't know who is the Lord? If I didn't know what I know that God has given me by his grace, what an empty thing life would be without him. It's a great, great blessing to know whatever you're facing, he already knows it. And he's the Lord of it. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever you got coming, whatever you're in right now, whatever's coming, we have one that we build our house upon this solid rock, and it's going to stand by the word of God. And immediately this house fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The bigger you build it, as they say, the bigger it is, the harder the fall, the more difficult it is. I'm telling you, you will never be ashamed of trusting and leaning upon the Lord. You'll be ashamed of trusting in many things, but never the Lord. When we listen to him and follow his word, it's like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And if he's Lord, and he is, isn't he? Isn't he Lord this morning? Then why shouldn't we acknowledge that? That means we ought to be here today, right? That means I ought to be singing from my heart praises unto him. I ought not offer him half-hearted praise. I ought to be from my heart with everything it is. We ought to say what the hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention this morning. 94.
Love you, brother. You're Lord to praise. God bless you.